This is a Crestview Bible podcast. For more information, visit crestviewhutch.org.
You're well aware that power is a hot commodity in our world. So whether it's Evergy or some other energy provider that brings power to your home, giving you electricity, or firing up the heater with a gas service. See, I'm optimistic that winter's coming. Firing up the heater with a gas service of some sort. Or maybe you are stockpiling solar or wind energy. Whatever the case may be, we know that power is needed to run our world. I mean, just imagine a world with no Wi-Fi. Yeah, that's meant to be a joke. So as attractive as it may be for some of us in this room to be off the grid, I am a city mouse, happily. And I rely on these modern conveniences. I like that I have lights when the sun goes down and those types of things. But we need power to do more than just illumine our modern lives. We need energy, or we need power to live. Some of us even count the power modules that we're putting into our body. Those are called calories. Some of us even measure that so that we can make sure we get the right amount of energy and hit a certain metric or, whatever, protein, you know, stuff like that. So when we let, it's really simple. We know that's the case in the physical world, so it's not much of a stretch for us to think about what kind of power is needed from a spiritual perspective for us to live. Don't you long to have the power of heaven itself at your disposal spiritually? Don't you long for more power as a church, that our witness would be compelling to the world, that his power would be unleashed through us? So for 4 weeks now, we've examined the book of Ephesians, telling us that the church is Christ's plan for continuing to unfold the kingdom that he initiated before ascending to heaven, where he will return from someday at his second coming. We looked in chapter 4 at the one common faith as the foundation. We've laid down, we've seen that one foundation that was laid down by the apostles and prophets with Christ as the chief cornerstone. And the framework for maturing and empowering churches to carry out this strategy. We've seen that. That's all a mouthful. But we've seen this one foundation is Christ. And that one foundation is how churches mature and get empowered to carry out that strategy. Then we focused on equipping all believers and families for the work of ministry. That was last week. Examining the essence of the work that we're to carry out. And the work of ministry isn't just you need to sign up and volunteer to serve when we decide like we need a ministry. No, the work of ministry is you living your life together in this body. It's you functioning to help your families flourish, functioning in your work in ways that make much of Christ. That's what we're to be equipping and leaning into as we live out this mission. But remember, Paul did not want the Ephesian churches to stop with just an intellectual understanding. He wanted them to grasp this plan with their lives. He wanted them to lean into their calling fully, that the full power of the Spirit would be unleashed in them. And so today we're wrapping up this book by focusing on unleashing that power. This is kind of Paul's last attempt to kind of apply this to our lives, to motivate us to pursue this and to live. It's kind of like the last paragraph of a letter where you're asking someone to do something, and this is kind of Paul's last paragraph. He accomplishes this by giving us a most vivid metaphor of putting on the armor of God. It's an interesting thing. Most interpret this passage as individuals putting on the armor of God. But the primary focus is on the church. Church is putting on the armor as a means of unleashing the full power of the Spirit within them. So this section is challenging, and it serves as a fitting conclusion to this letter as Paul is urging us to respond to all that's been revealed in this letter. And he's urging us to respond to it like once we complete this section, we're gonna have a solid foundation for grasping and for implementing all of Christ's plan within our church, which places us at the very center of his plan. He wants us to live a certain way. This is why Paul's writing. He wants us as the church to get this and to live a certain way that shows forth the glory of God in this world. So my purpose is to connect you to these realities. I want you to see how freeing God's plan is. This is really good news, especially as God's power is unleashed through this plan. So you might hear this. Don't hear me saying that I'm trying to give you a good pep talk to dig deep and find your mojo. That's not what I'm after this morning. I'm really calling you to look away from yourself to all the truths that we've seen about God's plan in this book and to experience God's power at work in us. You remember that Acts 1:8, like after Jesus left, he told them, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you will be my witnesses." Today, that's the same kind of power that we're tapping into so that Christ can be glorified among us. And so today, kind of by way of application and to get into this, even to what your appetite for where we're headed, who has your ear about what your experience in church should be? Who's dictating this? What's going through your mind as to what the church should be? I don't know about you, but I'm constantly dealing with a voice in my head that says one thing or another. So I have to deal with the tradition that I grew up in, that I experienced growing up in church. And if I started dropping some of that tradition, y'all would think I'm talking a different language. Like if I said RAs and GAs, you'd be like, huh? But that's the tradition I was brought up in. Because I've grown up in church since the womb. You know, I have an upbringing. I have a seminary education that in some ways helped and in some ways made things cloudy. I have college ministry ideals. So from when I was in college and plugged into ministry as a very young person, I have ideals about what ministry could be like. I have the baggage of being leading student ministry for a while and thinking, oh, well, this is what we could do. And the story of how I grew as a child. All these things are clamoring for a voice to tell me this is what church should be. And so it's so tempting to give these voices a bigger voice than Jesus himself. It's so tempting to think, oh yeah, that's what this should be because that was valuable to me. And I may do that at the expense of missing what Jesus has to say. So today, the question, like right from the start here is, would you hear what the Spirit is saying to the church? So that Jesus would be supreme and so that his glory would be seen. And like I just said, I'm preaching this to myself. I need to remember this is about Jesus. It's not about me or what I think or what best practices would be or what traditions I like. It's about Jesus. What does he say? So really the question on the table in this passage is, should we fully commit to the plan that Jesus has for us to experience God's power? Or should we opt out of it? What's it gonna be? So I invite you to join me as we see three ways to unleash God's power through God's plan. Three ways to unleash God's power through God's plan. And we get to this in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 24. So let me read this section. When I'm finished, I'll say, this is God's word. And then you can respond if you'd like by saying, thanks be to God. So beginning of verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak, so that you also may know how I am and what I'm doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I've sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. This is God's word. Thanks be to God. So three ways to unleash God's power through his plan. And first of all, we unleash God's power through his plan as we fight for God's plan and fight against spiritual forces. So if your coffee hasn't made it to your brain yet this morning, fight goes in both of the blanks if you're taking notes. Fight for God's plan, fight against spiritual forces in verses 10 through 12. So what's in view in this section is the call to put on the armor of God. And we know, you might know that Paul's writing this from prison and he's probably looking at one of the soldiers guarding him and thinking, yeah, that's how I could wrap this up. Under divine inspiration, that's kind of what God's using. And in Paul's mind, this picture pulls together everything he's been writing in this letter. This concluding section is crucial to our understanding of the power that Paul was praying for in those two lengthy prayers that we've looked at over and over again in this book. So chapter 6, verse 10 begins with this statement. Do you see it there in verse 10? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. That word translated might there is another word for power. It's the same word as power. And so again, this all takes us back to what we've seen throughout the book, that Paul's not getting to a different theme now. He's variating on the same theme. So put your finger there and go over to chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. Remember that first prayer? Paul prayed in this way in that first prayer. He prayed that they might know. Well, let me get you the exact verse because I don't have it there. Yeah, beginning of verse 19, Paul prayed that they might know what is the immeasurable greatness of what? His power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great what? Might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand. And look at this list we're gonna get. Above the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. So that gives us one clue that Paul's still talking about the same thing. It's the same power he's been riffing on the whole time. And then if you look in chapter 3, there's another prayer. Chapter 3. Look at verse 16. In this prayer, Paul asks that the riches, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength or power, the ability to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to what? His power at work within us. So Paul has prayed throughout this book that we would experience that power, that it would be unleashed in our lives. He's given us the plan of how it's happening. And then he comes here to the end in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. So he's basically saying, I want you to have this power. And not only that, unless you're still thinking, I still think this is individuals. The language doesn't allow it. So verse 10, these are second person plural commands. In other words, he's not saying you do this. He's saying all y'all do this. The second person plural. We don't really have that in our language. It's you for both. But it's the second person plural. You all be strong in the Lord. You all put on the full armor of God. It's inviting us as a people to do that. So this passage is a call for us as the church. All of us are to step into these things. And Paul wants us to understand what Christ has done for us fully and to know that Christ has a plan, the church, which he is fully empowered to accomplish his purposes. It's through the church that he's done this. So if we fight for this, the Spirit will empower us. So part of understanding and putting on the full armor of God is understanding Christ's plan fully. Another fight we have is against spiritual forces. So we're fighting for the plan. That's the first half of this point. But we're also fighting against spiritual forces. We stand against the devil. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So our main issues aren't simply with those people or that person or that thing. Our issue is fighting against rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of wickedness that are behind the evil in this world, as well as those spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That's who we're fighting against. So the point is that through the church, Christ will demonstrate his wisdom to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. Do you remember that in chapter 3, verses 8 through 10? Paul says that he's been given this job, basically this work to do from God, to bring to light, this is verse 9 of chapter 3, to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for the ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to rulers and authorities in heavenly places. So God's wanting to demonstrate this to the spiritual world. He's wanting to demonstrate through our life together as his people, through our stepping into this plan, what kind of people we are. He's empowering that. So God's gonna demonstrate this. And the church's struggle is against evil rulers and authorities in heavenly places. So when Paul's telling that church and us to put on the armor of God and to stand firm against those forces, because he's helping us see that the church will be under attack at strategic times. I know we love riffing on how the church is under attack from all those on the outside. Okay, that's for certain. I don't think any of us woke up today and said, what? You know, the world doesn't want the church to succeed? Of course it doesn't. I think this work that he's addressing here relates to what's going on inside the church. There's issues here. The church is gonna be under attack. We're gonna lose sight of who the enemy is. And so we're gonna turn our eyes on one another. We're gonna turn our eyes and think, that person's the problem. If that person would only get on my page. And we're gonna be missing this. So, as we comprehend and carry out Christ's plan, as we stand firm in that, the Spirit empowers us to accomplish more than we ever imagined. And it's gonna be a battle. Some of us in this room are battle weary. And then we're reading here, it's gonna be a battle. So the call here to fight for God's plan and to fight against spiritual forces is just like, I don't know that I'm up for this. This is gonna be daunting. When we begin considering how we might engage in God's plan, the church, forces of wickedness will do everything they can to stop it. So as a church, we have to rise up and fight for that plan while fighting against spiritual forces. And this is sometimes a task that we don't even feel like we can accomplish. So all the more reason, like this is a command for the church. Because we need people who can lift up those who are weak. We need people who don't feel like fighting. We need to come alongside and say, come on, we can do this. Isn't that what they show in all these war movies? You know, Saving Private Ryan. Isn't that, you know, aren't all these war movies about some courageous person when nobody else feels like they can go on? Here's a person standing up saying, we can do this, let's go. And that's what's called for here in this season. That we're fighting for what we know to be true from the scriptures. We're fighting against the people who oppose it. And so when we feel that opposition rising up in our hearts, we're careful. So we unleash God's power through God's plan by fighting for it and against those who oppose it. I know we gotta keep scooting quick. Secondly, verses 13 through 17. We also dress ourselves with the truths of God's plan. We dress ourselves with the truths of God's plan. So Paul, again, I just envision him writing this, looking at the armor pieces that are on this guard, and what words does he choose? He really gives us an amazing list of equipment. A belt of truth, a breastplate of righteousness, shoes that are ready to proclaim the gospel or the good news, a shield of faith to protect against specific attacks, a helmet of salvation and a sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So I hope you can see what Paul's driving at. He's communicating to us that it'd be like Paul saying, I'm praying for you, Crestview. I'm praying that you'll be a church that operates at full power, that you'll fully grasp Christ and his plan, and you'll be fully engaging in the work of ministry. So to remain a full power church, you're gonna have to dress yourselves in the truths that I've put in this letter. Especially during times of attack, you have to guard the church by understanding your calling. You have to be committed to advancing the gospel and using the word skillfully so you don't lose ground or power. So we know this is the case for Paul. We know he had this care for them because remember the backstory that we looked at before we got into this book. Paul had invested 3 years teaching the Ephesian elders, just teaching the leaders. He invested 3 years teaching them the whole counsel of God, even in their homes, because he knew this was such a strategic city for the mission. And so Paul prayed that they would fully grasp Christ's plan, which he had revealed to them, and they would become a powerful hub that would participate in the mission to spread this all around. Like if Ephesus goes down, there's gonna be a massive hole for the gospel's progress in Asia Minor. So Paul had to motivate them. He had to challenge them to prepare for a major conflict by being clothed in this teaching, just like a soldier would prepare for battle. We wouldn't, I guess maybe in today's world we would, but we wouldn't want to prepare for battle by saying, well, I'm here and I have nothing that I need to have. You know, we'd go like, soldier, like, did you skip basic training? Did you, you know, what's going on? You have nothing? And so the reminder here, just put these basic things. These are basic truths: salvation, faith, the gospel, righteousness. Steep in these things. So for a church to be operating at full power, Paul's point is that churches must fully comprehend what Christ has done for them. And knowing his plan to experience the Spirit's power in accomplishing all that Christ has given them to do and to be. So the applications for us, just think about what this means for leaders, that we have to be focused on equipping the saints for the work of ministry. We can't let go of that. We have to keep building this. And we're all called to engage so that we operate at full power. We're all called to lean into this, to step into this. I always say lean in. Can somebody look up on ChatGPT like 1,000 synonyms would be great. Synonyms for lean in and send it to me so I can choose a different word. So we lean in and to understand Christ's plan and to live out the ministry to which he's called us. We keep living this way. So again, it's not gonna be easy to hold our ground if we're not operating at full power. So like I said last week, we want there to be a cruise control on the Christian life. Like we wanna just coast spiritually and like hit the button and lean back and, oh man, isn't this a great journey? I know this is how I drive. I don't know if you all drive this way. We're just leaning back. Oh, isn't this a great journey? We're going to heaven someday and I can coast now because I put in my dues and isn't this just great? Oh. You know, there's no cruise control. There's nothing like that in the scripture. I mean, if it's there and I've missed it, please let me know because I would like an out. No, there's not. Like it's continually engaging. It's continually believing. It's continually stepping into what his word says and saying, yeah, I'm gonna live that way. And so there's no cruise control. We have to apply these concepts to our life together here. Just as we had put on armor for battle, we're putting on this spiritual armor. So I'm just making it clear. We're gonna experience attacks as individuals, as families, as churches, and especially leaders. We're gonna experience attacks. Battles can be large or small. They can be church-wide or confined to specific areas of the church. And even within our families, marriages are gonna be attacked. Family dynamics involving children are gonna be under attack. And all these attacks, what do? They reduce the power that we experience in the church if we do not put on the spiritual armor that Paul's given us in this letter. It's gonna draw us away. So the call then is to dress ourselves in the truths of God's plan. dress ourselves, to keep applying this, to keep arming ourselves for battle, to keep living that way. And again, the call is that we do this together. We do this in our life together. It's not just a one-off. It's not just, well, you put on the armor and we'll all be safe. Man, I wish it was that easy. It's all y'all, all of us all. We have to all put on this armor. We have to all dress. And all that leads to the last point here, verses 18 to 24. Because some of you were keen enough to say, well, there's a comma there. You kind of stopped in the middle after the word. There's still weapons. Yes, so we pray and we unite for gospel progress. We pray and unite for gospel progress. So we fight, dress, and now we pray and unite for gospel progress. So Paul went out of his way to keep this church informed about his situation and the progress of the gospel. He asked them to pray fervently for him. Please pray for me. He's again underscoring the central role that these churches in Ephesus had in his life and ministry. And we know he's addressing the whole church by the way he ends this letter. And has this picture of spiritual armor. He addresses the whole community. Probably, it's probably not just Ephesus, but all these churches that exist because of Ephesus. So churches immediately around there, they're a hub. And Paul's, they're kind of a hub in like what we would call today, Paul's church planting network. So from Ephesus is gonna come all kinds of outreach into Asia Minor. And he wants to keep them updated so they can pray diligently for him and his difficulties as an ambassador in chains for them. So he invites them to pray for the progress of the gospel. The call is to pray. And with that call to pray, it's kind of a call to alertness. It's like we're not just praying like, yeah, God, help all this and that and this. You know, no, it's a prayer like knowing that what's going on, knowing, being very alert as to what's going on, we pray. And we persevere through that activity. We're praying for other believers. Sometimes, man, it's so easy to get wrapped up in what's happening only with us. Like, you know what kind of week I had? And here's what I had. But boom, 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 boom. And all these things are happening with me. And so it's going to be a challenge to stay alert and to be praying for others and to persevere in that. And Paul's drawing our concern to be for all the saints. Specifically, I think, application here for frontline gospel workers like Paul who are advancing the gospel. He's inviting this church into a partnership for the mission. I mean, how many of us would be outraged if the ambassador from the U.S. in, how can I make it provocative, Gaza, was put in chains? How many of us would be outraged? And Paul's saying, like, he's an ambassador in chains, so pray for him. Because, like, preaching the gospel has gotten him into a mess, so he needs the church to pray. That's the kind of attitude that is welling up in us. That picture is drawing us to pray. And we also unite for the advancement of the gospel. Paul recognizes that he needs partners in this work. So I think it's just a great application to be curious about. Who are we united with for the progress of the gospel? Who are we as a church united with? Who are the people that we would be boosting gospel work among? Is it just us? So I think we have to reckon with that. I don't think the answer is just us. I just think we have to get way more curious and see like what Luke is doing in South Asia is an extension of us. What God may be leaning, you know, John and Taylor and their families to is an extension of us in these places, in these forward areas. So staying curious about that. Paul wanted this front and center. Paul wanted that unity and those prayers to be front and center. So he sent someone to give them a report. Sometimes when people come and give a report, you may think, this is foolish. I can opt out of this because there's no preaching today. And Paul seemed to suggest that this is an important thing for the church to gather together and hear that update, hear that report, because it's a part of their work together. Tychicus came and brought this report. Their ambassador in chains was doing okay. this church would have rejoiced in hearing that. They would have rejoiced to hear the gospel's progress as Tychicus gave this update. And then I love the ending blessing, which again calls us to uniting activity. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. So God's power is unleashed as we practice corporate unselfishness. I think that's the call here, a corporate unselfishness, where the call and the others like a corporate fight, a corporate dressing, and now we have a corporate unselfishness through our prayers and our partnerships. We pray and unite for the advancement of the gospel. So in conclusion today, we've seen three ways to unleash God's power through God's plan. We fight for his plan, and we fight against spiritual forces. We dress ourselves with the truths of God's plan. We pray and unite for the progress of the gospel. So again, as we wrap up this morning, can I invite you into relationship with Jesus? I mean, we've showcased that, and that really is the thing behind the thing of this entire message today. Because God's plan, while we're thinking about applying it as a church, let's not forget the first step, that God's plan begins with the truth of the gospel, with the good news of the gospel. And so throughout this passage, we've been hinting at that truth. We've been called to be ready to share this good news, and we've been invited to partner for the purpose of this good news. And so today, what is this good news? It's the amazing news that we once lived for ourselves. The way Ephesians 2 put it, we once followed the prince of the power of the air. Like, we once were infatuated with anything that was anti-God, and we might not even known that. We were living for ourselves. But God showed mercy to us, and by grace we have been saved through faith. It's not from us. And so we're invited to get in on this. So today, would you turn from your sin and trust in Jesus Christ the Lord? He lived and died and rose again, and he did this to rescue people like you and me. He saved us from our sin. We have, as a church, we have a helmet of salvation that is Jesus Christ our Lord and what he's given. So find salvation in him today. And if you're a believer, our footing is firmly established in Jesus. So today, you may be still trying to wrap your mind around all that I've said in this message and what it means for us stepping into Christ's plan and how that means to fight. I think at times during this message, you've probably felt like I'm inadequate, like I can't do this. You know, what you're asking me to do, fight? How do I put on spiritual armor with others? What does that look like? How do I pray? How do I unite with others? I mean, these are just questions that evoke. And I just want to remind you of the gospel grounding that you have. You know, coming back to center. It almost could sound like I'm inviting you to something like, yeah, but, that I'm yeah, butting Jesus. And that's not what I'm trying to do. Jesus has saved us for a purpose. And what we've seen unfold in the book of Ephesians is he saved us so that we could put his plan into place here as we live together, so that that could be a testimony to even forces in the heavenly places, forces, spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. So I want to step into that fully, if that's his plan. So it's kind of like we're built on that foundation of Jesus and who he is and what he's done for us. And now we're living out in accordance with that. So today, the call is to fight for this truth, to continually apply this truth to our lives, and then to pray and unite with others who are about this work. Is that flowing out of your heart in any way? I'm about to say lean in again. I can feel it. How can I say it differently? What else do you need to know? You know, what might keeping you from embracing this plan, from entering into this plan, from saying, yeah, Jesus, wherever you call, I'm there. But stepping into it, stepping into his plan is gonna mean saying no to other things. It's going to mean I'm committed to what you've said is important, Jesus, and not these other things. So how might we pursue this together? That's the call of this passage. So let's receive the power of God as he unleashes it through his plan. This is what he's done for us, that we may glorify and enjoy him forever.